As you can see from this passage that we have read in Mark chapter 5, this incident was divided into two parts because of the so-called interruption by this certain woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. Some may see there is a link because the girl, the daughter of Jairus, was 12 years old. In her case, she had been suffering this issue of blood for 12 years. But we shall not see too much into this same period of time. But this 12-year-old girl meant everything to Jairus. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue, which means he was pretty well off. He was a man of influence. He was a man of position and distinction. But all these fizzled to nothing when the one that was dearest to him, his daughter, became very, very sick to the point of near death. That's what he said. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. What are you most afraid of? The one that we love the most on this earth is the one that we are most fearful of losing on this earth. Before we became parents, as a single person, what is it that you are most afraid of as a single person? What is most important to you in your life? It could be an illness. It could be a crippling illness. It could be the loss of your job, perhaps. And if you are someone who loves to play games or sports, it would be that limb that you use to play your game with. For example, if you love to play tennis, you do not want to lose your use of your right hand if you're right-handed. Or if you like to play soccer, you do not want to lose your feet, your legs. If you are someone who likes to play chess, you do not want to lose your eyesight. Otherwise, everything will have to be played blindfolded. Blindfolded chess. It's possible. There are some who are very gifted and they can do that. It's not impossible, but it will be a great, great handicap. And so you may be very fearful of such things. But the moment you become a parent, you realize that as parents, your children will mean more to you than anything or anyone in your life. You can't help it. That's the way of parenting. If you're a normal parent, of course. Your children will slowly take over your heart, your love, your life. And you will work even harder. And your life will change. And you can see this in many, many new parents. When they first got married, you go to their home, you find that there are a lot of pictures and photographs of themselves on holiday, their wedding day, and so on. But once the baby comes, you realize that the photos will change around the whole house. Your dating photos, your wedding photos are now simply replaced by your baby's photo. Right? There will be a book about your baby, your language about your baby. Last time when you were working and you're married, you don't have that longing and desire to come home. Not that you don't love your wife, but you don't have that longing to come home. But the moment you have a baby, you can't wait to finish work and to rush home. And it used to be the first person you cry when you come home was your wife's name. Now it's the baby's name. True? Are that true? I'm not speaking from experience also, just to make sure. But that's a change. And so very soon, your heart will be for your child, and then your children. You'll work hard, and then now you realize that they need money for their education, and so you plan for their future, and you work even harder to make sure that you have enough resources to take care of them until they're old enough to stand on their own two feet. Now that's parenting. And so Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, with all the power, position, and distinction that was at his disposal, all these suddenly fizzled into insignificance overnight because of the serious illness of his 12-year-old daughter. Now, we know that she is 12 years old because of verse 42. It's not mentioned in verse 23, but it is mentioned in Luke chapter 8, a parallel account. So she was 12 years old. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. Now, as a ruler, you do not embarrass or humiliate yourself You do not anyhow kowtow to anyone. But in desperation, he was not thinking about whether it will be a shameful thing for him or not as a ruler to kowtow in front of so many people and in front of this man called Jesus of Nazareth, whom he knew, who heard of, who is able to heal, who is able to help anyone who is ill, who is sick. I'm sure he must have heard of many, many of Christ's miracles, all the many different kinds. And so in this serious state of desperation, his darkest hour, fear for the life of his precious little daughter who meant everything to him more than his own life. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. All protocol, all pride, or whatever position as a ruler, how can a ruler of a synagogue bow down to just this carpenter's son? All these suddenly became insignificant. He was not caring about himself anymore. He just simply bowed down and prostrate in front of everyone. He fell at the feet of Christ as a nobody because of his desperate desire for help from Christ to help his daughter who was dying. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. He spoke with great certainty. He spoke with faith. Now remember, whenever you read the gospel, whenever the word faith, like in this context, only believe, be not afraid. Believe in what? Faith in the Bible is in Christ. In the Old Testament, in Christ's humanity, and in Christ's deity. From the book of Acts onwards, it's also the same in Christ's humanity and in Christ's deity. Because in the Old Testament, he hasn't come yet. From the book of Acts onwards, after his ascension, Jesus had come and Jesus has gone. And everyone from that point onwards who believe in Christ, his humanity and his deity, all have to believe by faith. But in the gospel, while Jesus Christ was still walking on earth, his humanity is by sight. And so whenever the Bible speaks of faith in the Gospels, unlike faith in the Old Testament and in the New Testament after Acts chapter 1, chapter 2 onwards, where the faith in those instances, OT and New T from Acts 2 onwards, where it is both humanity and deity of Christ, but in the Gospel is his deity. And you must understand how difficult it was for them to see this human being who is exactly like us, but without sin, in terms of his frailty, in terms of his limitation, his tiredness, his need to sleep like us. He perspires when he walks like us. He needs to drink. He needs to eat like us. In order for Christ to be our great high priest, he must be a man in order that he may feel humanity. He may experience our weakness, our infirmities, our tiredness, without sin. And then to see him like this in human form, and then to know that he is God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the one who made this whole universe. He is the one who has all the power of God in his disposal. He is the one that by his spoken word, whatever he says will come to pass because he has the power as God. Now that is faith in his deity while he was walking on earth in human form. And this man Jairus, in his darkest moment of his life, fearing the death of his beloved daughter, 12 years old, he was prepared to do anything. He humbled and humiliated himself. He prostrated before Christ. And then he declared by faith, you can heal. You are able to heal. That's what he said. Lay thy hands on her and that she may be healed and she shall live. Definite. All you need to do is come, Lord. I believe that you are God, in other words. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Do you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? Do you believe that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it was not just man who died for you? Do you believe the power of the death of Jesus Christ that has been the only thing that saved? since the beginning of the fall of man when Adam sinned against God. There's always been Jesus Christ. There's always been the power that accompanies the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He sacrificed His perfect life as the Son of God and the Son of Man in order to die for your sin. The power in the death of Jesus Christ, the power in what Jesus Christ did on the cross with the shedding of His blood that has the power to save you from the bondage of sin and the penalty which is death and hell. Do you believe? Jairus did. Out of this desperate need, you must realize the desperate need in your soul. All of us in our journey of salvation had experienced this desperate need. All of us. God had to strip us of any ounce of confidence or hope in this world. Driven to the point where everything in this world is completely hopeless. There is nothing that I could find in this world that can help me fill this void in my heart. Nothing on this earth that can give me any peace in my heart because of the sin that continues to reside in us. And you know you are a sinner. You know there is nothing you can do that can prevent you from keep on sinning. You and I keep on sinning. You may not do the deed of sinning, not yet. But the moment in your heart, in your mind, you think about it, you lust after a woman, Jesus says you have already committed adultery. That's how sinful we are. When you are motivated by material things, you love mammon. Mammon has become your idol, and that is a serious transgression. Your self-confidence in yourself, that is an idolatry. That is also a serious transgression. Realize the desperate state and condition that you are in. Just as Jairus, realize that everything that he had as the ruler of synagogue with his position and his power and money, they were useless. They were useless against death. He was prepared to do anything, just like this woman who had been suffering from this issue of blood for 12 years. She did everything. She spent all her money to look for a physician to get healed from her desperate state. But she was ostracized because she was a walking unclean person. Everything she touched became unclean because of her condition of the issue of blood. She could not stop bleeding. Same desperate state, just like this woman, just like Jairus, and all of us today. You have to humble yourself and prostrate before the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Jairus did, in order to be saved. Do not wait for a calamity. Know and recognize the sin in your life. It is serious. Know that you need the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone has the power to save you. All you need is to believe. All you need is to come to Him, and you will be healed. You will be saved. That is His power. But you have to come humbling yourself before Him. Not 99% of yourself. It has to be 100% humility in total, complete, utter surrender and desperation. Because of the seriousness of sin and because of the seriousness of the penalty of sin, which is death and hell. Let tonight be the night where you put yourself in the position of Jairus and prostrate before the Lord Jesus Christ, fall at His feet, and cry to Him for salvation, for help. And He will save you. He will save you. He has the power to do so. And so Jesus Christ went with him. And on the way, this incident of healing the woman occurred. Maybe it resulted in a short delay, perhaps. But whatever it was, after healing this woman, while he yet spake, that means while he was speaking about this woman's condition, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, verse 35, certain his servants, which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" In Luke, it was not stated in question form, it was in statement form. That means both were uttered. Mark recorded the question, Luke recorded the statement. Why troubles the master any further? Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Full stop. The phrase trouble not the master means stop troubling him. It's all over. It's too late. It's too late. The master can only heal if she was alive and sick. But now that she is dead, it's all over. Stop believing, in other words. Don't trouble him anymore. Jesus knew this in the heart of Jairus. Because these certain individuals who came from Jairus' home did not whisper this softly and quietly. They broadcasted it to everyone who heard, including Jairus. And then immediately Jairus' faith was shaken and he started to doubt. And so Jesus immediately, as soon as, without hesitation, the same word, as soon as, is translated in verse 42 as straight away. Same word, immediately. Because Jesus knew that Jairus has started to begin to doubt the ability of Christ. He already had faith. You will heal my daughter. He believed that Jesus Christ could, all you need to come, that's all, and she will be healed. And so Jesus said, Jesus heard the words that were spoken, and then he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, he targeted Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. They said, stop troubling. Jesus says, you don't stop believing. You keep on believing. Stop being afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid. This phrase, be not afraid, is constructed in a manner to teach us to stop an action in progress. That means Jairus had started to feel afraid. That's why Jesus told him to stop it. Because fear is the enemy of faith. You doubt that Jesus Christ is able to take away your sin? You are afraid? It's natural. Because that's what faith is. Faith means to believe. Believe in what? Believe in God. Believe in God's word. Believe in the promises of God. That's what it is. We live in a world where faith is an entity that all of us need in order to have a normal life on this earth. You cannot live on this earth without faith. It's impossible. You will be so fearful if you do not have faith. You want to cross this traffic light. How do you know the cars will stop? And so you're not sure, so you dare not move, and so you'll never cross. You dare not enter into the lift. How do you know the cables that the lift is suspended upon? It's able to hold your weight. It's been going up and down for thousands and thousands of times. How do you know that when you step into it, it may not hold you, and therefore it will come down and you're going to die? And you live on the 30th floor. You're going to walk? You dare not get in? You need faith in order for you to have a normal life. Every day you wake up, you exercise faith in order to have a normal life on this earth. Faith in people, faith in the system, faith in your government, faith in what you buy, faith in so many things and people. And now God says, you must have faith in me too. You must have faith in me for the life after this life. Know that when you die in your sin, death awaits you and hell awaits you. Please understand the reality of this. This is a warning from God to us. Because when you sin on this earth, you sin against God, your Creator. And every one of us need to answer to the Creator, and the Creator is a holy and a righteous and a just God. And anyone who died in sin, regardless of who you are, will have to be sent to hell and ultimately the lake of fire forever and ever to pay the punishment and the penalty for your transgressions on this earth against God. You sin against man, you can find that man and make whatever restitution with an apology. But when you sin against God, what can you give to Him that can appease the anger of God against you? Nothing. He owned this earth. Everything that you have, He made them. What can you give to Him? Your money, your house, your what? He doesn't need any of those things. What restitution can you make to God to appease the anger of God against you because of your sin? And you know you have sinned again and again and again. Accept the blood of Christ. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you, His only begotten Son. The priceless, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary is the only thing on this earth that can remove the wrath of God against you. You have to take away your sin, and only the blood of Christ can wash away your sin. And all you need to do is to be like Jairus. Humble yourself before God and bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and say to Him, "Be my Lord and my Savior. I have sinned against Thee and against God. Forgive me. Come into my life and save me." That's all you need to do. It's free. It's by God's grace. It's freely offered. You cannot work for it. You cannot buy it. It's offered to you by the love of God, free of charge. All you need is to reach forth, believe, and accept. The same faith that you have in this life. You know how important faith is in the life after this life as well. All you need is to believe. Don't be afraid. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. And that's why Jesus said, "Be not afraid. Trust me. All you need is to believe." Believe in what? Believe in God's word. Believe in this word. Believe in what Jesus says. Be not afraid, only believe. Now remember, much people followed Christ and they thronged Him a lot. That's why the woman with the issue of blood could only touch the lower garment of Christ. And she believed and she was healed. And so when Jesus arrived, He suffered no man to follow Him. That means He will not allow anyone to follow Him except the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And then He comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and then He seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. Why did He stop the multitude? Because they didn't believe. They were just curious seekers. They just want to see out of curiosity. They were just like people who watch a magician. That's all they care about, the spectacular, the miraculous, that's all. Were they following Christ like Jairus? No. Were they like the disciples who already had faith? No. For the disciples, they need their faith to be strengthened and deepened for the task that God had ahead of them, to be the founder of the first local church that will begin the local church witness. They cannot fail. That's why they needed all these to strengthen their faith. They already have faith. Just like Jairus, he already had faith. That's why Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Keep on believing." He already had faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why he bowed down and he cried to Him, "You can heal." But then now that he's dead, "Can you raise my daughter from the dead?" That's why Jesus says, "You believe. I have the power over death, not just over diseases, because death is far, far more deadly than any diseases, because every disease will culminate in death." Isn't that true? Every disease will culminate in death. Some may be mild, and so you see a doctor, you take medication, you will recover. But there will come a point in time, if this is how God wants you to leave this world, you're going to be afflicted by a disease that has no cure. And it will culminate in death. And so do you believe that Jesus Christ can take away death, can conquer death? Why is there death on this earth? Do you know that this body of ours is designed by God, is a very powerful body? A very powerful body. This body is good enough as it is to live 800-900 years. Do you realize that? That's how powerful this body is. It's good enough to live 800-900 years, and God demonstrated that before the flood. The people before the flood lived 800-900 years. That's how powerful this body God has created for us. Then you ask yourself, why then did God cut down our age by 10 times on this earth? and reduce it to 80 years, and by reason of strength, increase it by another 10 years or 80. From 800 to 80, 10 times. Why? Because of sin, because of our fault. Remember, if they live 800-900 years, remember what happened? Within a very short period of time, 1,600 plus years, this beautiful planet Earth was turned into a planet of great transgression, that when the flood occurred, how many people were there on the earth? One theologian said, calculated maybe a billion, because people live 800-900 years. You just imagine how many children they would have as a family. And only 8 of them were believers out of more than 1 billion people. You let a person live 800-900 years. You just imagine what would the world be like if Mao Zedong lived 800-900 years. You just imagine what the world would be like if Hitler lived 800-900 years. That's why God says, enough. To keep this world going, I cannot allow sinful men to live 800-900 years and commit sin after sin after sin. If you are a rapist and a murderer, if you are a despot, if you are a dictator with all the power, and then you live 800-900 years, you just imagine the kind of damage that they will do to this earth. And so God reduced it by tenfold, so that everyone on earth, including his servants, everyone, including God's children, will only be allowed to live 80 years, and by reason of strength, another 10 more. And that's it. For those who are serving the Lord faithfully, your time and length of service will also be reduced by 10 compared to the time before the flood in Noah's time. For those who are sinful and wicked and evil, surrounded by all the powerful armies that you might have, death will invade into your life, and no army can prevent death. And that is to preserve the world, to let the world remain for as long as possible in a state of normalcy, where sin and evil and wickedness will not consume this earth the way that it did, which resulted in the watery punishment in the time of Noah, where only 8 out of 1 billion were born again in Christ. Death will come. Death is because of sin. And so if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, who took the punishment because of your sin, God says all your sins will be forgiven. And because your sins are forgiven, death is removed, and the punishment of sin, which is death resulting in hell, will also be removed. But if you turn your back on the love of God, if you turn your back on Jesus Christ who died for you, you will have to die in your own sin, and therefore you will have to pay the punishment for your own transgression, which will mean spending eternity in the lake of fire, in hell, and the lake of fire ultimately, which is a place of great pain and torment and gnashing of teeth, the kind of pain that has no end. That is how heinous sin is to the eyes of the holy God. And God does not want to see you in hell. God does not want to see anyone in hell, regardless of what transgressions you may have completed, committed against God. God says the blood of my only begotten Son is powerful enough to wash it all away. All you need is to believe. Don't be afraid of what man says. Some of you may have had a very bad experience from a terrible, terrible professing believer. Please don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Throw away that bad testimony from that professing believer just because he called himself a Christian and you have been stumbled by him all these years. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't throw away Christ because of him, because you will die in sin and you will end up in hell because you rejected the Christ that this professing believer has misrepresented. The Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful Savior. He loves you. He died for you. Don't turn your back on him because of a bad testimony of a professing believer that you have experienced. Believe. Don't be afraid. Trust him. Just as what Jesus said. And those who have faith, Jesus called them, please show me where the girl laid. He came to the house, he saw the tumult and the wailing and the crying, and then he came to these people, and then he said, "Why makest thou this ado? Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And then they laugh him to scorn, these people who were there, the servants and the friends and the relatives perhaps of Jairus. But when he had put them all out, "You don't believe, you all go." He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, James, John, and Peter, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And then he took the damsel by the hand, and then he said to her, "Talitha kumi," that's Aramaic. "Damsel, little girl, Talitha kumi, arise." That's what it means, arise. And instantaneously, without hesitation, without any physiotherapy, suddenly this girl who had been gravely ill, who died recently, straightway the damsel arose, she walked. For she was of the age of 12 years, she old enough to walk, and then they were astonished with a great astonishment. They were shocked, they were stunned, and they all have faith. Remember, the parents have, Peter, James, and John all had, and so their faith will be strengthened because they already have faith in Christ. And then he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat, to prove that she was truly alive. Why did he tell them, "Don't tell people"? They were sure to know. They were sure to tell. Because he does not want those who do not believe. He does not want those who are only interested in the miraculous and not for the true reason, that is their sin, their salvation, to just simply follow Christ for all the wrong reasons. If you study Matthew chapter 13, that's when Jesus Christ started preaching in parables. He did that on purpose. He started to speak in parables. He gave so many parables. And then at the end of it, the multitude got fed up and then they left. They don't know what he was talking about. And they were not interested, because Jesus Christ does not want people to follow him for stomach, for healing, for any of this reason other than for the only reason why Jesus Christ came, for the forgiveness of your sin. That is why it is a very terrible thing that when charismatic pastors today tell people, "You believe in Jesus Christ, you will be healthy and wealthy." That is exactly what Jesus Christ repudiated when he was on earth. He doesn't want people to follow him because of their health. He doesn't want people to follow him because of money, which was exactly why Judas Iscariot followed him. He thought that Jesus Christ will be the king of the Jews according to the standard of the world, where he can be a treasurer in Jesus Christ's empire on earth. He became the betrayer of Christ. And all these multitude who followed Jesus Christ because of healing, because of feeding, because of the miraculous, Jesus Christ says, "Don't follow me for all this." That's why he says, don't tell people, "I don't want this kind of followers." And then today we have people telling their congregation, "Follow Jesus Christ because of the health and the wealth," which was exactly what Jesus Christ says, "Don't follow me for these reasons." That's why you know that these charismatic pastors are false pastors. They are false prophets. Follow Jesus Christ by all means. By first denying yourself. That means know that you are a sinner. How do you deny yourself? Like Jairus. He didn't care about his position. He didn't care for anything. He just fell at his feet before the Lord Jesus Christ. You do the same. Deny yourself. Whoever you are, whether you are CEO, king, or president, whoever you are, deny yourself and prostrate before Christ. Because you need the Savior. You do not want to die in your sin and end up in hell. You do not want that. And God does not want that. Jesus does not want you to do that to yourself. That's why he came to die for you. Believe. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of all those who put doubts, those who cannot believe. And they will say, "Don't bother, don't believe." Don't listen to them. You believe with all your heart. Because God will never lie. Believe in the Word. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you. And you keep on believing. Stop being afraid. Because fear will make you doubt. To remove fear, keep on studying the Bible. The more you believe the Bible, the stronger will be your belief, your faith, the more difficult it is for Satan to succeed in making you doubt. Because faith is still needed today. After salvation, you begin by believing, and then you keep on believing. in order to live a life of holiness. Because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God, even for believers. You don't just simply believe and then you stop believing after salvation. You keep on believing. That's why the Bible says in Romans, you begin in faith, you end in faith. That's why it's from faith to faith. You begin in faith, you continue in faith, and then you end in faith. You never stop believing in Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man, who came to die for you, to save you from sin, from death, and from hell. Be not afraid. Only believe. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, not to be afraid. Take away every and any doubt that may hinder anyone in this congregation from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for them and rose from the dead for their justification. Help them, O Lord, like Jairus, who will prostrate and fall in front of the Lord Jesus Christ and will accept Him and receive Him as their Lord and as their Savior. No matter what man may say, may they not be afraid, but continue to believe. For we know that Thou art able, and Thou hast defeated death and hast removed hell from us and have forgiven us of all our sins, and we have nothing to be afraid of in Christ Jesus. Help us. Help our unbelief. For Jesus' sake, in Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.